Hello, everybody. The last couple of years for me has been a time of refinement and change. Closing my patient advocacy agency of 10 years, relocating, and resuming a solo practice has resulted in feelings of going full circle. Some things have changed, yet core principles have remained the same. I no longer have an agency to promote or operations to manage. There's no personnel management nor decisions about software and tools that enabled our small but mighty agency to become a lean, mean, efficient machine. No more invoicing. I'm smiling about that last one. There's simply me and you and a whole lot of need for advocacy, education, outreach, and a solution. Amidst all this transitioning, I have found that triage is my jam. What is meant when I say triage, and how or why am I so good at it? The definition of triage reads, the preliminary assessment of patients or casualties in order to determine the urgency of their need for treatment and the nature of treatment required. The term triage comes from the French verb tirer, meaning to separate out or to sort. It was first used for medical purposes during World War I, when it referred to the way that medics prioritized the treatment of soldiers wounded in battle. Now, you might associate the term triage with that done in emergency rooms or disaster response, when limited medical resources must be allocated to maximize the number of survivors. Many of us saw Hawkeye perform triage on the TV show MASH, or we see it now on shows like ER or Chicago Med. Whether in medical care or natural disaster, decisions are made so as to get the best outcome. Not so very different from the work in patient advocacy. Patient advocates are assessors, planners, and make it happen innovators. I'm sharing that in my years, I've come to realize that triage is my jam. Professionally, triage in my case refers to what I'm receiving or perceiving and assessing how you as a client are presenting to me, to your loved ones, or to the world. The performance of triage also means I'm thinking several steps ahead, steps of which you may not yet be aware. I'm really good at this, really good, and I love doing it. I treasure having the ability to assess. I thrive upon opportunities to use my skills and experience to help folks begin, just to start, or to sort through the noise of overwhelm, or to gain some direction. Here's what begins to happen when I and a client are working together in just an hour. I help discern what needs your attention now and later. There's an educational component. Clarity brings priorities. The path is illuminated and an order begins. We have a loose plan. It's all good stuff. This, my friends, is the out of the problem and into the solution stuff that I hold so dear. I really enjoy those first calls from folks seeking services or callers who don't yet know what they need. They just need, and they know it. I don't precisely know how this skill came about, but looking back in my life, I developed a keen ability to size up people and situations, more than just the basic level friend or foe. Whether or not there was a perception of safety or threat, I can read people and situations better than many. Some of my first memories of being able to do that came in family life. I got pretty good at family dynamics, like observing what mood Dad was in when he arrived home from work, which determined pretty much how our evening would go in the Ruffner household. I was observant about the spoken and unspoken word, moods, mannerisms, body language, tone, all of it. And then I learned to apply this kind of observation to lots of personal and professional situations. As you may know, I pursued social work as my undergraduate study. The application of observing behavior dovetailed right into the social work curriculum. There we learned formal assessment and building rapport. As for building rapport, well, if you've ever gone through any school of social work, you will come away with a snoot full of training about how to do that and effectively communicate. I actually sat for my first video training in that college curriculum. It was in the late 70s, so I have no fear. Early in my working career, I remember some really cool training during my stint in inside sales. In our training intensive, we as trainees were played 5 seconds of audio from a caller. In the audio, a caller would begin to lodge their inquiry. With only those 5 seconds, trainees were then expected to respond to the caller's level of urgency, or lack thereof, their timing, their cadence, their manner, their volume. We had to match it so as to open the door to building rapport. All of this stuff helped to ready me for today. I'm the person that can talk to anybody. I'm the person that will speak to other people in the elevator or in the grocery store when we're in line. Moreover, I will notice and likely ask if ever help is needed. With that came approachability. But still, to me, there was another level to achieve. I want the other person to feel heard. I want the other to be welcomed and to become comfortable. When I was growing up, our family moved a lot. We'd move about every 4 years when my father would be recruited for his human resources expertise in startups. Moving a lot when I was young, being inserted into new schools and new situations, seemed to instill in me a kind of chameleon capability. After being the new person so many times and experiencing uneasiness, I will now and forever go out of my way to be the person that welcomes the new person. And I brought that into my patient advocacy. You all have heard me express this. You've heard me say so many times, if I could just prevent one person from feeling that kind of anxiety, the anxiety of being a new person or not knowing how stuff works or what to do, if I could help one person know the right questions to ask or the next steps to take, if I could give them words or shine a light on exactly what they need to focus upon to head towards solution, or if I could instill some hope and confidence, then I must do that. Triage is my jam also in that I can make that first time or fifth time caller know that there is a solution, that they are on the right path. They're taking the right action. There's a solution, and I've got the client stories to back that up. It's easy for me to be and sound assured and to convey that because it's 100% true, and therein lies authenticity. I love triage, the welcome, the exchange, the relief, the path that unfolds, all of it. Because of all that, I've made triage the focus of my services. I've rejigged the consulting side of my business. I now offer 1 hour consultations exclusively. In just 1 hour, I can triage your situation, resulting in recommendations and resources. I can engage in Q&A with you, an informational and educational exchange. I can deliver a deeper dive session into a particular topic, for example, navigating healthcare, all about housing, legal documents you need to be sure to have, starting difficult conversations, or responding to challenges found in solo aging. I believe not all clients need to sign up for ongoing services, visits, invoices, all of the commitment that traditional engagement of a patient advocate or strategist may entail. Plenty of folks need help to problem solve. Yep, problem solve, we're making that a verb, y'all. I want to get to work with you. Eliminate the how long is this going to take and what's it going to cost me anxiety. I want to get you past the stuck or stymied and on a path to solution. So triage is my jam. Indeed. Indeed. Contact me via my website, nancyruffner.com, or email me at nancy@nancyruffner.com if I can be of service to you or someone you love. I hope that something that I've said today has provoked your thought and action and helps you to move more comfortably forward in the future. Thanks, everybody.